All right, welcome to Rose and Balls. Let's get started on sort of early takes on the season and some unique stories popping in, right? We're going to start with the defunct team. So we're saying, like, who's on the wrong road, who's on the right road, and what are sort of rumors that we can predict, right? So right off the bat, on the wrong road is probably the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls had a team meeting after their first loss of the season. Not a good sign. And this was a team in turmoil before. Like, this team needed to rebuild, like, years ago, it feels like. Like, every year we're talking about it. And the question is, when is shit going to hit the fan? And the trades kind of happen. I think, personally, it's the incentive of the GMs. And Arturis, their GM right now, has no incentive to rebuild. He needs to, he's looking at his next extension. In order to get that, I think he needs to show playoff success. So he's going to have that in mind right now. Again, what Silver has prevented is rebuilds, basically. So I think Chicago, in one of their situations, they need to figure out, okay, LaVine signed long-term. They've already sort of said that he's not going to be moving. And fine. They got to look at two targets, though, if I'm the Bulls. There's two question marks there, and it's actually DeRozan and Patrick Williams. So on DeRozan's side, I actually think the right route there. People talked about the Clippers, but they got Harden now. Maybe the Lakers. I don't think they have the assets to make a move unless you want to, move Austin Reeves. But again, I don't think that's their ETA. That's what they're thinking. I actually think their better route here is Tobias Harris and the picks. Some of the picks they got in that Clipper deal. Let's flip this around a little bit. If you're the Bulls, you're not sure. It's a trade to make a trade. I totally get it. And I'm not going to deny that that's what it is. But you need somewhat of a change of scenery. You need to see how certain guys perform in certain situations, right? And, like, look, is it a crazy offensive thing? Sure. But in theory, if you have Harris, Vucevic, and LaVine, it's a ton of just shooting. And then the hope is, Coby White now looks better in penetration. Vucevic has more post opportunities because he's got spacing around him. That's all plausible. That's all potentially what occurs here a little bit, right? So that's one route Chicago needs to look at. The second route is there is such a ways away, they need to focus on ceiling. And if you look at, like, what the asset type they need is, they need a point guard. They need a point guard for, since Lonzo Ball went down, right? They keep saying, and they keep using the Ball excuse, well, Ball's injured. Okay, well, again, that excuse isn't going away. I don't know when he's coming back. Guy can barely sit down in a chair. He did the whole thing with Stephen A. Smith on that, where he couldn't really sit and stand up from a chair. That's pretty bad. Sounds to me like he's years away. And even if he does come back, there's no way he's going to be the same guy. So, like, what are we talking about here? But yeah, I get it. When they had Ball and post, Patrick Williams drafting, and obviously DeRozan and Vucevic on board, they looked like one of the top tier team. All of that sounds really good. So they need a point guard. They need a lead guard. Now, one of the things that's also on the radar for the Bulls, as we're thinking about that, is Patrick Williams. They didn't re-up him. There's no extension there. So he's going to be a pending RFA. And you better believe he is going to get teams to pay up. So now the Bulls kind of have to, like, ask that question now, because he's going to get a contract. Is he worth, $100+ million or whatever the amount is? So another idea, and they should probably do both ideas, is finding a way to get a young lead guard for the future of this franchise. They're missing a cornerstone guy, and I have the answer for them. And I like Patrick Williams for Jaden Ivey construct. I think that makes a ton of sense for both. Ivey right now in Detroit is almost like the fourth or fifth guard in the rotation, and he's way more talented than that. They trust Cade and Thompson with the ball more. Even Hayes got more minutes than him the other night in New Orleans. Marcus Sasser even. I mean, Alec Burks, you can make an argument he's fourth, fifth, or sixth on the guard depth chart. That's a problem for the number four pick. And not only that, like, the value is only going to dip if you're Detroit. Now, if you're Detroit, the concern is, well, if we get Patrick Williams, it's a looming extension. Yeah, I get it, right? So you got to make that decision. But you also need future spacing, and Williams provides that, and he's young. It makes a lot of sense for the Pistons because you basically delay extension talks and you see what Ivy could do in that role, and you kind of give him the keys to an extent. So I like the idea for both. Coby White is not a lead guard, right? Like, he hasn't – he is who he is. He's not improved enough, I would say, to warrant that title. So that's a move that makes sense. I understand the Bulls have a lot of small guards. I get it. But Ivy, you throw it – now, if you do both, you throw it like Ivy, Levine, you know, Harris, maybe you get Bogey in that deal, and but that construct with Vooch, that now it starts to make sense. Now you have a have your cake into two. We're having this lead guard who could be our franchise player for the future, while I think better fit and more exciting fan base would be excited about that, and a better fit for the short term. That to me is a win-win if I'm Chicago. But the problem with Chicago right now is I think there's multiple things they need to do. They're not, and again, with the caveat, they're not willing to rebuild unless management leaves. So Chicago right now is one of the train wrecks. Again, we'll talk about teams that are not going the right way. That's the biggest one right now. The other teams, I wouldn't say there's another massive train wreck team. The other light one, we talked about it for a while, is Toronto. But Toronto has looked, you know, quasi-good. I never am a fan of signing a guy based on Olympic performance like they did with Schroeder, who's had the most polarizing value of the last 3 years. He's worth $90 million. Now he's a minimum. Now he's worth it again. Like, he's the same player, guys. Either you like the talent or you don't. I don't think he's a starter. Toronto, we've also said, needs to rebuild. But again, it's Masai's there. There's no incentive. He's not going to want to maybe stomach a rebuild. Who knows? They were in the Lillard play because probably he wants to do a Kawhi 2.0. I don't know what their strategy is. But the difference there is they have better young talent than Chicago. Chicago's only young talent. I mean, they got AO. I like AO. And they got Patrick Williams. All right. And they got Jalen Hardy. Fine. If you're Toronto, at least you got Grady Dick. And you got Scotty Barnes. So you have at least more semblance. Now, again, Toronto, I think, probably needs to consider a Siakam move eventually, or OG. They're in the same boat. They seem to be at least more involved in rumors, particularly with OG. But OG's probably your ticket to a revamp / rebuild for Toronto. Them and Chicago are the same boat, okay? So that's the teams that are train wrecks right now, in my opinion. Toronto's not much a train wreck. Chicago's a train wreck, okay? The other team in the next tier were like, they are floating on the fence of purgatory, okay? And I put a couple teams in that category, maybe three. But right now it's New Orleans, Atlanta, and Minnesota. Let's talk about it. And again, all these teams is about fit, honestly. So Atlanta right now, I think, and again, it depends on who's really running the show and who made the early decisions. If it's Landry Fields running the show and not only Travis Schlenk, there's more likelihood a change occurs. You already saw a change with Collins and stuff like that. Atlanta's issue is, like, look, the Young Murray experiment. It's not working, okay? I don't know how long you need to wait on it. I don't know what you're expecting to be different and what your end goal is. Your end goal is just to be a first-round team and lose? Then fine, continue the strategy. But if you want to try something different, I don't think either one is at his best with the other. So they got to split that up. I do like the other things going on in Atlanta. I think the removal of Collins has been quite helpful. That was an addition via subtraction. You allow now Hunter has a bigger offensive role. Jalen Johnson's looking good in the early stages. He could play make a little bit. AJ Griffin's getting more minutes. You're allowing your youth to really flourish there. And then when Okongo's in the game, he does some things too without, you know, having to worry about that. And then defensively, it's just, you know, a lot better because Collins was bad. And then you always had to stagger your units with Young and Collins. They worked together beautifully offensively. Defensively, it was a disaster. So that element's working well. That's a good addition via subtraction. They're going to have to solve the Murray-Young thing. Now, the good part is a couple of these situations coming in ahead, which we'll talk about in a second. Let's talk about New Orleans. New Orleans has a ton of youth, almost too much youth, though, right? Like, we don't know, you know, who should play what role and sort of what I call the prioritization of development. You can't develop everybody at the same time in the NBA, okay? There's 12 men on a roster. There's really only 9 guys in a rotation. So, like, you have to figure out where you put certain youth, especially if you're looking to also, you know, win like New Orleans. New Orleans to me has a couple of question marks. I still think the first thing is, like, everyone talks about Zion and his health. I get it, but like, at the end of the day, your highest likelihood to reach 50 plus wins is with Zion. You got to keep. So if you peel that onion and you're trying to build around Zion to an extent, they've already sort of quasi made it known that Jonas Valanciunas' minutes are getting reduced. And they have here and there. But in order to build around Zion, like, the question is going to be about Ingram. Does Ingram work? And do you need a more adult point guard? I think New Orleans lost a lot with Lonzo Ball leaving. Now, granted, should they have kept Lonzo Ball? He's hurt. So obviously not. But they did not get an adult point guard back. CJ McCollum is good. He could operate in the half court. He's not an adult point guard. What I mean by an adult point guard is more of like a coach on the floor who really can figure out, okay, this guy needs the touch here, this guy likes the ball here, and kind of quarterbacks it. Guys like Andre Miller, Ricky Rubio, Chris Paul, Mike Connolly. It doesn't necessarily mean the guy may have another skill set. Right? Like Ricky Rubio couldn't really shoot well for a point guard, but he was very impactful for Cleveland's second unit. Ish Smith is a great example. You know, he did wonders with Philly years ago when he came back. Sometimes you need an adult point guard. And I think New Orleans needs that. So now the other team, by the way, Chicago needs it too, as we talked about. So that's the situation there. I think Ingram and Zion don't really fit, and Ingram's the guy that's got to go. You kind of see sentiment of it where, like, I think Ingram wants to get his. You know, he's basically a one-side player. When he's in the games, the Pels are scoring 130, giving up 140. And you can't have that many guys who aren't great defenders in your rotation. Herb Jones can't do it all, okay? So I do believe Ingram is a likely candidate there. So now, again, like we're talking about the candidates, I think Ingram is the candidate in New Orleans. And again, New Orleans has a ton of picks, so they would also probably want to consolidate where possible. Okay. Atlanta also needs to thin out and make some rotation. And we already talked about Chicago. Minnesota, I think, is not necessarily in this bucket because they're showing some promising things, right? Like, I think Nickeil Alexander-Walker, who they got in the trade last year, looks quite good in point guard minutes and could be a future piece there, even though Conley has been aging. And obviously you want to build around Edwards. Their situation is more on the front court. What do you do with Towns long term? I think they could wait on that decision because at least they have like somewhat of a core here where the core kind of makes sense. You could see Towns, Gobert, Naz Reid as your front court rotation. You could see Edwards, Kyle Anderson, McLaughlin, or McDaniels really as your wing rotation, if you will. And then your backcourt rotation is really Nickeil Alexander-Walker, obviously Edwards, Connolly. So the rotation at least makes more sense. But there are obvious ways to solve all things, right? So, like, again, Atlanta has two adult point guards. DeJounte Murray's a guy. DeJounte Murray, you know, again, is the value enough? I don't know, but there's a way to make it work, right? You could deal Murray and, like, let's say Okongwu for Valanciunas and Ingram. That's a deal I do if I'm New Orleans. But I like Okongwu a lot. I don't know if I do if I'm Atlanta. Probably do. But again, not a great defense. Like we talked about, you have Ingram and Young. So does that work? Fair. It's a treat to make a trade. Chicago. You got DeRozan, who they could float around, maybe in a three-way. Murray makes sense there. Murray and LaVine is a good backcourt tandem. Makes a lot of sense. Right? And then you have, obviously, New Orleans, who needs that point guard, too. And I think a big point like Murray, you move McCollum to the two. Right? So, saying all this, there's a way, a trade needs to happen between these three teams. Like, they're just kind of a mess. And by the way, don't seize on Toronto. Murray would look good there, too. That's a little more difficult because then again, like, you know, who are you actually moving? You know, Siakam, it's too much. Let's calm down. So, there's something that needs to occur with those two teams to kind of get out of this, like, weird stage, if you will, purgatory that you're feeling. And the hope is, like, for the sake of direction, some of these teams make moves there, right? And then you have the teams on the right direction, in my opinion, that are doing it the right way. Not like the primo teams, not the contenders, the teams that are on the route to contention. I'll name a few here that I want to hit on. I think one to look at that's on the fence is Cleveland, right? Like, they were a regular season team last year. They made some changes. The guys they got, Max Strauss in particular, looks good. Garland hasn't been healthy, so we don't know yet. Dallas has had some decent wins. Again, unsure yet. We haven't seen Kyrie has been out, I think, one game or so. So let's see what that table looks like. We still don't know yet. So there's still a couple don't knows. Golden State looks pretty decent, but again, nervous about the aging of Clay in particular and Green. Could Kuminga Moody take the next step? We don't know yet. But the teams that are kind of on the rise that we do know, I think Indiana's one. Indiana did lose to Chicago. Again, context matters. The Bulls had a must win. This was after they dropped the first two by quite a decent amount. And then they beat Indiana and Indy. But now, Indy now, obviously the health stuff with Haliburton, which is totally fair. But the guys they got are at least flowing in the rotation quite well. Naismith looks great. They're getting improvements there. Mathurin's there. I think they need to start increasing Jairus Walker's minutes. He looked good in the limited. He played well in the preseason. But Indiana, I think, is on the right road, clearly, and doing it the right way. The other team that is on the right road, Orlando. Orlando, again, with Fultz back, he's an adult point guard. They have an adult point guard. The rotation's starting to make sense. You can start seeing the pieces here. They're doing it the right way, okay? Obviously, people talk about OKC, but the surprise team that, the hype is real is going to be San Antonio. So I want to spend a second on Wemby there. People forget, rookies usually shoot low from the field. They're inefficient. Like, KD shot 42% of the field his first year, all that. Wemby, 50-plus shooter, and he's smart. He's making some playmaking skills you don't see from a rook. And the defensive metrics are out of control. The amount of ground he covers is insane. I was really impressed with the back-to-back win against the Suns by the Spurs. So typically, they literally stole the first win. I get it. But Wemby's now instilled this, defensive sort of trapping identity that the team has. I'm not saying it's because of him, but, he totally helps nail it because he can help protect any traps that occur and is, the best athlete for trapping. So they stole that first one. You would have expected the Suns to blow out the Spurs in that second game with that back-to-back. After losing in a gut-wrenching way, where you're up the whole game, and then they have a bunch of steals down the stretch, and you basically get a turnover down the stretch and lose on a Keldon Johnson layup, you got to blow them out the next game. No, the opposite happened. They got blown out. They made a little comeback, but they got blown out. So I don't know if the Suns are in trouble. They still got to integrate, and Beal hasn't played. I get it. But is it crazy to say the Spurs could be a play-in team? This is insane. Has the dynasty already started? That's how good this kid is. All the people people are so quick to be like, oh, he's going to be bust. I remember after the first summer league. But here's the difference with Wemby. And LeBron had this too, quite frankly. He's got decent basketball IQ. At, what is he, 18, 19? So you come, and that's the one thing. The second thing is, people talk about injuries. He has been doing all of these, very unique leg stretches, throughout, really advanced basketball conditioning and regimen to at least limit injury potential. So I don't think it's going to be a Yao Ming thing or whatever, someone that size. Look at him in baseball, someone looks awkward, like a Chris Sale, the way he pitches, oh, that's an injury waiting to happen. I don't know. I don't know the truth behind it. Maybe, the doctors tell him, hey, look, this is how you do it. It's possible. But I don't know if he's going to have that injury. And if he doesn't and he plays, and so far in the beginning of the year, you would have expected, right, if a team is going to rest, right, when's the period you rest? You rest more at the beginning of the year. The fact that he's playing is interesting. And by the way, Spurs have other organic improvement. Okay? Vassell has looked pretty good. Keldon Johnson's still there. Trey Jones. Jeremy Sochan. And they saw Dougie McBuckets, you know, McDermott, Zach Collins. I mean, like, it's if you have a Wemby who pieces it all together, and Shetty Austin was a solid pickup with Pop there, like, it's not bad. I don't know. The Suns back to back wins, maybe I'm overrating it, is impressive. And I think, like, the other teams have to think about the regular season like the playoffs in the sense that I don't think you can sacrifice, you know, rest so much here and there. Those games are going to matter, particularly you know, when they're when there's going to be more tightness amongst these teams. Like, the Pels got to watch out. First of all, the Pels have to watch out because their chemistry doesn't make sense right now. It never did. So they need reps between, like, Ingram and Zion. And, look, I don't know what goes on behind closed doors. I don't know how they're resting, whatever. They need to take the regular season more seriously. On that note, let's take a final homage on the Clipper deal, which we haven't discussed yet. Actually, we did discuss it, but, like, that's where the Clippers comes in. I think the Clippers shift is they are taking the regular season seriously now. They had in years past. They felt we could play one of Leonard or George. We'll be fine. We'll coast, and we'll make a plan and then make a run. No, because you make the play, and now you're playing Denver in round one, which you want to avoid. So that's a decent reason behind it. So we shall see, as we say, but some early developments at the beginning of the year.